Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe period Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts, or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.
Hi everyone, Alex here. I'd just like to take a moment to thank some of our patrons.
Rachel Attaway, Itzel Anayelim, Emma Briannon, Annika Ekholm, Fane Greenwood, Jake the Fake Jake, Caitlin Martin, Avery Winther, Jamie Frew, Ebony Breyer, Misha, Torsonist, Percival Shaw, Jack, Lee McNally, Jennifer, Elliot HT, David D. Martin, Greyest B, Elizabeth Coretto.
Thank you all. We really appreciate your support. If you'd like to join them, go to www.patreon.com/rustyquill and take a look at our rewards.
Hello and welcome to the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast Holiday Special. I'm your host, but not GM Alex Newell. With me today, I have
Fryn Munroe,
Helen Gould,
and terrifying special guest
Ron Howard.
Yes, because it's Christmas in Canary Wharf, and there's blood, and there's Santa, and there's Christmas knives. So you know it's festive,
and there's sexy battle wizards.
You did beat me to the main.
Yeah, I imagine. I mean, that'll be the title of the episode.
I can tell you now, the words "sexy battle" and "wizards" will both be in the title and probably be in that order.
Cool, yeah. Good. This is Sexy Battle Wizards. This is episode 2. Imagine you can probably. You don't need to listen to episode 1.
No, absolutely they do.
Yes, okay. Yes, please go back and listen to episode 1. Otherwise, you won't understand the subtle intricacies
of the plot.
They'll
miss the wolf tornado.
That's true. Yeah.
And I'm really proud of it.
Yeah. And when you drowned that robot. And when you kissed that other robot.
I liked it.
See, a lot has happened.
Yeah. Previously on Sexy Moments. Don't know what that voice
smash,
was.
Smash cuts to hard violence. Hard, sexy robots. And then...
Steady on. PG? Keep it PG, Alex?
I imagine they've got aluminium plating or something similar. It's got a nice robust feel to it.
Mm, I mean, they're robust-y. Made of metal, so...
When last we met our inverted commas heroes, they were emerging from a lift in Santa Corp, which is obviously when Santa moved all of his production to Canary Wharf, a major industrial zone.
Brexit's worked all kind of habits London.
It's gone really weird. Yeah,
oh, Lord.
Yeah. Their exit from the great and arcane EU, which is run by a dragon, a big dragon who runs Europe. He's great. So Santa has moved his manufacturing to Canary Wharf, and apparently quite high up in Canary Wharf as well, as you can see reflected through the bloodstained windows.
Oh yeah.
You see through the bloodstained windows the various shimmering towers of industry and business. But there are manufacturing droids which seem to have been repurposed into kill bots.
Oh no.
They've slain Santa's normal helpers, or elves as they're known, but it's a cool acronym. I don't know what it stands for. And they have... Yeah, keep thinking about it. We'll get that.
You vamp, and then in the next 2 to 3 hours, I'm going to have one for you.
Write in, if you go on. They appear to have tied sharp gifts to their hands.
Electronic labour force.
There we go!
Oh, lovely.
But they're not electronic.
What?
No, they've killed the flesh ones.
Yeah.
Well, these ones. These ones can be the electronic labour force. And the other ones can be the MLF, meat labour force. Coincidentally, that is the name of the headmaster at your college. Hi, I'm meat labour force. Oh, and my moustache can kiss.
So can mine.
Oh, it's a moustache wrestle you want, is it?
My favourite kind of wrestling.
Good. Okay. Listen, we'll come back to this later.
Okay.
This is purely as an adjacent scene. There are robots stalking around the halls. You can see that there's been a lot of murder here. But it seems that potentially these are quite dangerous robots. That the reindeer downstairs was maybe some sort of security to keep people out, so they wouldn't get killed by the robots. However, up here, things are a little bit trickier. You might need to be subtle. You have no skills for subtlety. How do you approach the situation? You can see that there are like horrible, ragged robots covered in tinsel and blood and wrapping paper and knives. And there is there's a bunch of corridors and vents and break rooms. And then looking on the map, you can see, as you come through the elevator, you can see right at the end of all the corridors and vents and break rooms and, like, manufacturing lines, there is a big office with just a Santa hat drawn on it, which you presume must be Santa's office.
Oh.
You have to get to the bottom of this.
I would like to use my Shadowmancy to bastardise one of your other moves from one of your other games and move from one shadow to another.
Thank you, I stole it from D&D.
Excellent class, the Shadow Monk in 5th Ed.
I stole it from 3.5, I'll have you know.
Oh, a gentleman and a scholar.
A Shadowmancer or something.
Well, now I have to do something else, because I don't want to do anything with D&D in that.
Whoa.
Hot take.
You can do that, that's fine.
Hot take.
You can step between shadows.
Yes, I would like
Please
to
roll
that.
Me. Wizard.
I'm okay at wizard. I'm just not good at battling. Got a 5.
Brilliant. The noise it makes when you step through shadows.
Tell you what, give me one clean take and I can actually use that. There you go.
You appear to have stepped through shadow. Now you are on the other side of those horrible killbots. You're in one of the manufacturing lines.
Okay.
And you can see that some of them are still running. Oh. They're making evil Christmas gifts.
Yes! Love an evil Christmas.
Like lumps of coal.
Lumps of coal. Bones?
Oh.
They seem that.
Any killer slinkies?
Yeah. Yeah. The kind that wrap around you like a boa constrictor.
Yeah, Grant's on board.
Killer slinkies.
Furbies.
Yeah.
Ordinary Furbies.
Yeah, just ordinary Furbies. Yeah.
You're ready for a minor tangent, but it's too good a story not to.
Well, okay.
Very quick. Do you know what happens to a Furby if you leave it alone in loft for 4 years on?
Does it go mad?
Please tell me.
It goes properly mad.
How mad?
Mad where you open the loft having not gone in for years, it's perfectly dark and you hear... And then you go over to it and it's blinking like out of sequence and it's like moving but like really, really jerkily. Because it turns out it was one of the later ones that had learning mechanisms where, you know, it like copy things.
Oh no.
It had been learning lessons that no one had taught it.
Learning lessons in the dark.
It was amazing.
Oh my God.
Again, sorry for the tangent, but gotta recommend lock your Furbies up for 2 to 3 years and then see what happens to them. It's amazing.
Oh. One of the Furbies looks at you. It says, it seems unable to raise an alarm because it's a horrible Furby and can't speak properly, but it knows you're there.
Good. Everyone should know I'm here. I'm beautiful.
I thought you were sneaking.
Well, yeah. But, you know, okay. the two motivations, you know, they flutter on a whim. I'm a whimsical hair lady.
Apocrypha.
Oh,
No, either one of you, go for it.
So, Kevin, what do you reckon? Do we just blag our way through? Or high-speed rail network?
Scanning for meat. Need meat for plan.
I summon a mirror to sit in front of us. So that the scan is just reflected back at the robot and it doesn't see us.
Now we can have a nice, long conversation.
Please make me a wizard check.
That That's a 3.
Oh, it fails. The meta cracks from side to side. Mark one stress, please, and one determination. Oh. What goes wrong?
I didn't make it big enough. I'm only used to looking at my face and my torso in the mirror, so I left our knees and chins and feet exposed.
Well, also really awkwardly, because you disappeared my reflection in the lift, presumably it turns up on this mirror. That's how reflections work, right?
Yeah, yeah, they're stored up until the next time they're needed.
Yeah, that's what I assume. Mm-hmm.
Leg detected.
And you can hear, it's like it's walking on knives, like...
Oh, nice.
Skittering along the floor.
Well, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I'm going to push the mirror aside and just... I'm just going to try and blag it. I know it's not going to work, but why not? You know, literally a... oh, no, this
won't... What, a sexy jerk?
Yeah, yeah, this won't do. This won't do at all. And I'm going to go very kind of officious power stance, power woman through it, mm-hmm. and just kind of try and pull as many robots in my adoring wake as I can.
Okay, make me a sexy check, please. This is going to be a 6.
Yeah, I figured as much. They are killbots, and yes. I do have meat. Mm. Thin reflections aside.
You also have the shoulder pad technique.
2 2s.
Ooh!
Not sexy to killbots.
Mark one stress, please, and one determination.
I shouldn't have been unfaithful. I should have stuck with my reception bot. We'd have had lovely toasters together.
The robot's respect for the reception bot and the relationship that you definitely, like, hinted at.
Instantaneous communications thing.
Yeah.
Maybe they have a hive mind.
Yeah. It makes a modem noise. It's like... and you can see it respecting the robot's, robot's decision. And, like, it's probably going to tell the reception robot about this if it gets out of it alive. but because, like, they're work colleagues, you know?
But he doesn't deserve this. He should. He's
not
lucky,
enough. Apparently.
Lucky to have me.
It makes a horrible screeching binary noise.
Yeah, you said modem noise. Yeah. I recognise it.
Yeah, and slams down 2 knives either side of you. Things are getting pretty spicy.
Ooh.
Subtle didn't work. Time to go back to traditional means. I put
a horse and cart.
I hit them with it.
Pull out my antiquated gun, mm-hmm. hold it in front of the mirror, mm-hmm. I reach up with my other hand from behind the mirror and pull a second gun out of the first gun.
Ingenious.
To go guns akimbo, and I just start shooting everything.
Brilliant. Make me
a
battle
shoot me?
Check, please.
No.
Oh, thanks,
all the robots.
Thanks, pal.
So you're able to shoot some of the robots. I'm going to make this a 5.
Yeah, absolutely. 6.
Or whatever noise your cool gun makes.
Oh, yeah, pretty much that.
Yeah, cool. All around, you can see that your Giselle shots are smashing into these robots. And their, like, arms are flying off. Knives are scattering to the floor. Other sharp implements that you might get, like fish hooks. Like a fishing set.
Yeah, okay. Scissors for the wrapping paper.
Yeah, that's true. Some scissors are there.
Very sharp sellotape.
Mm-hmm.
Razor tinsel.
Broken bits of bauble.
Yeah.
Formed into a sort of power fist configuration.
Really, really overbaked cookies.
A sharpened wooden soldier.
Just pine needles everywhere.
Pine needles. Oof. Oh, that's unpleasant. Yeah, okay, yeah. Cool. These kind of a shambling mound now. We've got them dressed up as a sort of Christmas detritus. Killbot. Yeah, killbot is because they just want to die. Start streaking towards you, but you're able to, like, cover your cool, sexy rival, Apocrypha Ponzi, as you shoot your way toward the manufacturer industrial.
I'm seeing,
lines.
Like, the Matrix lobby scene, you know, with me and my 2 guns.
Yeah, but, like...
exploding bits everywhere.
Just shuffling awkwardly behind you the whole way.
We're making slow progress.
You're doing dignified stiletto walking.
Oh, yeah, sure. I'll pull it off like he's helping me instead of carrying me.
I like
he's clearing the way.
Like you're walking forward uninterrupted and he's sort of like spinning around.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
I'm doing a lot of spinning and probably some flips too.
Yeah. How are you going to block the killbots from getting through and chasing you into here?
Allow me. Okay, I'm going to perform the greatest, most powerful eldritch spell I know. Summon PA.
Okay. Wow.
We're talking full, like...
Still in Act 1.
Oh, I know. So bear with me. This isn't... I love it so much.
This happened the second Grant got here. Alex says bear with me a lot, and every time he says it, Grant becomes a bear. Yeah. I love it, you guys.
It's very helpful for me. You see, the thing is I still have the opportunity to do things like summon supervisor, and I'm not raising stakes. This is just, you know, summoning my otherworldly PA to deal with this problem.
Okay.
So I'm not sure how you'd like me to go about
that. That'll be wizard.
But I'm definitely going like spontaneous magic circle, unnecessarily eldritch.
It will not harm and it will not charm.
That's absolutely fine. Just needs to block.
So basically, you're rolling dice and telling me that I can solve the problem for you as your PA.
So what I am saying is that I'm quite happy for my PA to die in the line of slowing down some killbots.
Good grief!
Okay. It's a PA. They're expendable.
What a horrible person!
I don't even pay them a living wage.
I've got to presume that they're like from the elemental plane of PA. So it's like summon animal.
Absolutely. I'm assuming there's infinite PAs, right? I sound like, you know what, I sound like a Victorian hunter who's like, extinct?
Yeah.
Don't be ludicrous.
Roll me some dice.
Really glad I went with that. I've got two ones and a five.
Five, cool, okay. On the elemental plane of PAs, which is a giant office where everyone's answering like three phones at once.
It sounds hellish.
And like there is inevitably a 22-year-old woman with like a load of binders under her arms walking around. The phone rings. The big phone rings.
Oh no,
not again. No, I've got a family, don't take me. They grab the weakest and smallest PA.
Oh no, the runt PA.
The runt PA, whose penmanship is poor.
It's their first day.
It's my first day, don't throw me, no. And then throw them down a lift shaft.
Oh my God.
Hi, it's me, your PA.
Stand there and deal with this.
Okay, sure. So I haven't really been briefed properly. So I've got the clipboard.
I'm already starting to walk away. I gave them their instruction, and there's clearly killbots. I mean, figure it out.
Okay.
I can't do their job for them.
Hello, I'm here representing Apocrypha Pansy.
Over the shoulder, Ponzi, darling.
Apocrypha Ponzi. I'm very sorry. Oh no, I'm in so much trouble. She's torn to shreds by robots.
Oh Lord.
That's what PAs are for.
Think that's what they're for.
It's what I thought. It's what I was told. You know?
It does take them a while, so you've got the opportunity to,
watch.
Jesus, come on, guys!
Stop embodying this horrible capitalist!
You left silence.
You know what? Let me retcon that. Rather than being torn apart by robots, she creates an admirable distraction for them by running away from them.
That's perfectly fine. Should we treat it as if I never suggested the brutal murder, given that we're the good guys?
I don't know. It was quite a funny gag.
We're definitely not the good
guys. I leave it to you, Grant. How would you prefer?
I think we'll leave it in, and we'll have the retcon as well. So you are in an industrial place with belts rolling around. There's skeletons on the belts. Too much meat, which is a weird birthday present to have. Christmas present to have, even. And all sorts of bad gifts. It seems something mysterious is afoot. Why is Santa making bad presents for everyone? What's this Furby doing? And why have the killbots massacred all of the staff?
That sounds like a sensible point for a break, if I'm honest. Mm-hmm. Sorry. One, two, three.
Sexy battle wizards!
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So what's the deal with this mysterious factory, folks?
I'm not sure what's going on, but I feel like we need to stop it.
It's fine, I'll ask my Oh, no.
I wave from the other end of the factory, seeing as I'm assuming I have moved since the last time we saw me here.
What have you discovered, lady?
There are strange things here, I guess, but I'm going to go and find Santa.
Says the Furby.
I kick the Furby.
Wait. I go to the Furby, press it up against the wall.
Tell us what you know.
Make me.
Oh.
Ever kissed a robot on the beak before?
Have you?
Yes.
Teach me your ways.
It's the only way Furbies can kiss.
Well,
don't you dare let me down from this wall.
Oh, my God.
You know what? I'm going to continue this, okay, and just continue as long as I can, and just as a side, ask the questions that we need to in the midst of throes of
make me a sexy check,
please. Furby-based love. Six.
You love that Furby so right.
You know what? I thought I loved the receptionist. That wasn't love.
It's shot totally seriously as well. The scene. Like it's like there's two humans, except you're holding up quite a small robot.
And I'm 100% committed as well.
Yeah,
like,
there is
no lamp shading here whatsoever.
Not at all. Yeah. I also like to imagine it's happening slightly out of focus in the back of this scene.
naturally.
Yeah. You're going to try and track down Santa, right?
Yeah, you said Santa's office was at the end of the manufacturing line.
Yes. There are some big mahogany doors.
Oh, well.
Oh, it's good wood, that.
I push in.
I'll follow.
Okay.
I'll get round to it.
Well, you're occupied.
I'm interrogating.
So, Bryn and Helen, you walk through the doors. It's a reverse shot of you coming through the doors. And nice. Shock on your faces. That's the noise. That weirdly well-spoken Furby who suddenly picked up the capacity to speak real cool. Rather than just...
That's something in his throat.
Sorry. What is it you want to know?
Does anyone know why suddenly Santa's dropped MLFs for ELFs?
Good callback.
Yeah, I had to take a moment and think about it, but...
I can't remember if that was in this episode or the previous one.
I think it's the previous one.
Okay,
it's
cool.
It's MILFs.
the plural is MILFs.
Why has Santa abandoned the MILF model?
Mother, I'd like to festively engage with. Oh, you haven't heard? Terrible news. Santa's been taken.
Taken?
We smash cut back to the room where you opened the big doors, and there is a Krampus. A sexy Krampus.
Oh, nice.
Sitting in the chair where Santa would be.
Should we say what a Krampus is in case other people don't know?
Yeah. What do you think it is?
A Krampus is a monster with chains and horns and goat's feet and a little sack to put you in so it can drag you away.
Yeah, kind of a bad Father Christmas.
Also, historically speaking, in a bunch of countries, is related to Father Christmas. Like, literally, like,
yeah, it's
brother
a bad
or
uncle
or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's the evil uncle of Father Christmas.
Yeah, there you go.
He is in this too now.
This is my fun fact for the day.
Also, I really like referring to him as a Krampus.
A Krampus.
Rather than the Krampus. Because there is only one of them, but it's a bit like a Frankenstein or a Dracula. I think it's cute. A Krampus
Uncle
is
Krampus.
There. Uncle Krampus is there.
Funky Krampus.
Now, he needs a sexy Krampus voice. I just used this one up on the Furby.
Yeah.
Hello, boys. Girls. People. It's me. Sexy Krampus.
We didn't expect to see you here.
No, I bet you expected my useless nephew, Saint Nicholas.
What have you done to him?
He's
perfect. Spare no detail.
Okay. Well, I broke in here, tied him up, reprogrammed his reindeers, and sent him on his merry way. Don't worry, he's quite safe in my festive space station.
Space station.
Prince giggling like a girl on prom night. He's so on board.
Am I getting you hot under the collar, Bryn, with a mention of space?
I've played too many games of Dr. Magnet Hands with Grant, and the second a space station got mentioned, I was like,
I can assure you Dr. McNahans will not be making an appearance because he's just not sexy enough.
That's true.
He wears a string vest and has giant horseshoe magnets for hands. And I don't think he's got a house.
He's just got a base.
Yeah, he's got kind of a rocket castle anyway. I think you'll find that stopping me is quite impossible. I'm going to raise an army of the undead to destroy Christmas.
You'll never get away with this.
Oh, I will. And I'll tell you why. I have a special helper.
He pushes a button on the desk. And the door opens. And there's a worried-looking Jesus there.
Seems I'm not the only one with family trouble. Isn't that right, sexy twink Jesus? Listen, I don't want to talk to the sexy battle wizards, okay? Just use my necromantic energies and move on. Please, Jesus. We can't have a full conversation. We're just NPCs.
Don't let him do this to you, Mr. Christ.
Please, call me Jesus. Mr. Christ is my... No, he's not my dad, is he?
It's complicated.
It's complicated. I have two dads. Two dads and one very powerful mum. Anyway, listen, I've made my choice. I'm joining Krampus. Christmas has become far too commercialized, so we're going to destroy it.
No.
We're going to raise an army of the undead made out of bones and leftover meat. And we're going to send them down from space and mess up magical Christmas London. And you can't stop us. No one can stop us.
Well, I'm going to try because I don't like to see you this way, Jesus.
Make me a sexy roll to try and bring Jesus on side.
Yes! Yes, please let me seduce Jesus.
You get three dice for sexy.
Oh, I do get three dice. Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Six. You can see a bead of sweat run all the way down just from his forehead and landing on his beautiful sculpted pecs. Like all Jesuses, he is shirtless.
Yep.
I'll never forget that summer in Paris when you and I shared the... Jesus, don't talk to her! No, I'll never... I can't...
I could never forget either. Such a happenstance moment, and yet it is seared into my memory.
Serendipity. You, a woman... covered in hair. Me, the semi-ephemeral. Child of God. And one beautiful month in a squalid Parisian hotel room. Listen, I can't... Jesus.
I'll save you. You won't have him, you monster!
Krampus stands up, pushes a second button on his desk.
Oh, no.
I've had enough of you seducing my help. Killbots, to the fore!
The PA, who you summoned earlier, runs through.
Oh, Christ! Yes? No! No! I've distracted the killbots. Is that what you wanted, Mum?
I peel myself off. By the way, I love the stakes here. You... seducing child of God. Me seducing broken Furby. Love it. I peel myself off my Furby. Oh, dear. And I see which way the wind's blowing. I pull out my lipstick, twiddle the end, turning it into a glaive. I can see which way the wind's blowing. I think I might dismiss my PA at the same time. I can see.
Oh, okay, thank you for... Yeah.
Back to the elemental realm of POs. To fill out many forms.
Honestly, they did alright.
Lady of Voluptuousness, get Jesus out of here. I'll take care of this one.
Nothing would please me more. I'm going to go grab Jesus around the waist.
Exit via wolf tornado.
You grab Jesus around the waist.
Yes, I do.
He says almost involuntarily.
No! Put down my Christ! Says Krampus.
Never!
Krampus rushes towards you and grabs Christ's shoulders and starts wrenching him away from you.
I'd like to rugby tackle Krampus away to let Lady Voluptuousness and Jesus escape.
Make me a battle check, please.
4.
Mm.
You succeed, but mark stress.
You slam into the side of Krampus, his big curly horns digging into your shoulder as you slam him to the ground.
Jesus. I was so worried. You have to... No, wait!
And you can see that there is some sort of... I was about to say escape pod. Some sort of rocket mounted on the side.
You can put an escape pod in a building.
Yeah,
the president has one.
Is he?
Yes.
Cool.
I believe...
Yes, in the film.
Both in reality as well.
Oh, yeah. It's got one of those.
Basically, escape pods in buildings, a thing.
Yeah, if you need to get a very important person out very quickly.
Mostly they're popular in earthquake areas and things like that. So it seals into something that can't be crushed.
Alex, you're facing off against the killbots, right?
Presumably, yeah.
Tell me about your glaive that came out of your lipstick.
Well, I have a sepulchral glaive.
Mm-hmm. Is that a fancy word for lipstick?
Well, as a wizard, it's... The glaive is... Although it's an excellent weapon, it's just not for the modern woman. So I've just glamoured it to look like a lipstick until I turn it and then, obviously turn it into the sepulchral glaive that's quite literally made out of a skeleton.
Mm-hmm. Holding a knife?
Ideally, but...
Well, a scythe or something. Yeah.
Oh, no, you know what it is? Take a human skeleton.
Got one.
Then use magic, right? Just make it kind of narrow and stretch it and make sure that it has both its arms holding a knife at the top.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sepulchral glaive.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
Beefy. Make me a battle check, please, to keep the horde at bay.
Oh, I will, with my single dice.
You could spend desperation, I think, if you want to battle.
You gave me a stress and a desperation.
Yeah, so you can spend desperation, or you can just accept this failure for drama purposes. As long as you don't roll a one.
I'm gonna save my desperation.
Brilliant.
Till
it
can completely warp your story. That's the dream, right? Three!
You pull your ching-ching-ching-ching-ching big skeleton glaive and bravely face off... I mark one stress, by the way, one desperation. Bravely face off against a few of the killbots, but a couple of them get past you. Two of them sink their horrible claws into the back of you, Kevin. And rip you off Krampus.
They also happen to just, by accident, rip my jacket and my shirt off. Oh no, I'm topless.
Oh no.
Oh, no.
No, you got cool cuts?
Yeah, obviously.
Looks pretty good, yeah. Ugh, you're held back. Start dragging you off. Krampus jumps to his feet. Ugh, I'll get you next time, sexy battle wizards. And you too, Jesus.
You'll never take him away from me.
And runs up to his escape pod. Closes the door, and it's painfully slow. And then slams a button, and he shoots up, off, towards his orbital space station that's very festive.
Naturally.
The killbots surround you and Christ. What are you going to do?
I'm going to open a portal to the shadow realm thing.
Okay.
Seeing as I have shadowmancy, and that's what I assume I can do with it.
Yeah. Then what happens after that?
Go in there.
Oh, you hide in there?
Yeah, and we come out somewhere else.
Okay,
maybe. Where there is also a shadow.
Make me a wisdom check, please.
Now, I realise Grant's not the same kind of GM as me, but you did say anywhere, limiting places that you can come out to, the entirety of creation as long as there's a shadow, so...
Is that a problem, Grant, who's the actual GM for the game? Grant doesn't mind.
I would punish you for that ambiguity.
I know you would, that's why I like Grant better.
Well, that's the thing. If you fail, then I'll punish you for the ambiguity.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how it works. You don't just punish me for no reason. Oh, I got a 4.
Okay. Mark one stress.
Oh, no.
But you do not fail.
Ooh.
You grab Jesus and go into the shadow realm. What's the shadow realm like?
Dark.
Interesting.
There's this whole thing, though, about walking through the shadow valley, but Jesus is with her.
Yeah, so she doesn't have no fear.
Yeah. I can't remember the exact words. It's pretty much this situation is what I'm trying to say.
Well, the thing is, as well, the shadow of death is very different from the generic realm of shadow.
Yeah, it's next door.
Yeah, the realm of shadow is more like the suburbs surrounding the actual, valley.
Yeah.
Also, Tupac is in the valley of shadow.
Yeah, though I walk through the suburbs around the valley of death. I shall know no fear, for there is good transport infrastructure here.
Ah, yes.
You reappear on the roof. Oh, there is a shadow on the roof. You can see Krampus's escape pod streaking up towards the heavens.
Should I stop him?
Oh, he's so powerful, though. Even me, the son of God, can... Although I guess I wasn't really... I only really did that thing to the moneylenders once. Anyway, the point is... even my great, powerful Jewish magic can't stop him. We're going to need to get up there, I think. Mm-hmm. I hope your friends aren't murdered by those killbots.
They can take care of themselves.
I don't know about that.
Ghost wolves, assemble.
The ghost wolves, assemble.
Zoom up.
What are they assembling into, or are they just sort of hanging out in a group now?
They can make a staircase.
To space? It is at best a long walk.
She never claimed it was a good idea.
No, your ghost will start forming an impossible ghost wolf pyramid.
The base is going to be so wide.
Well, I figure because ghosts hover, you only need to do the next step, and then you take the ones out that you're not on.
Yes, it's ghost wolf Jenga to get up.
Oh, so you're going up on a ghost wolf escalator.
Yeah.
This right here is why we do audio instead of video.
So, two of you,
yeah,
the sexiest of you and Christ, have abandoned you. Your Lord has quite literally forsaken you, and you are surrounded by killbots. How are you going to get out of this one?
So, I'm currently being held by the arms.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm going to just kind of... I'm now, you know, obviously I was wrestling, you know, it's hard work. I'm a little bit oiled.
Mm-hmm.
Just cause.
There's some robot oil.
Yeah, so I'm gonna use that slickness to just wrestle myself free enough. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna charge for one of the big windows, mm-hmm. shooting it as I go.
Yeah, cool.
Grab Apocrypha by the waist,
mm-hmm.
and jump out into the river.
That's not where I was expecting that to end. Okay, sure. Make me a battle check, please.
That's a 5.
Brilliant. That's all I wanted. Might one stress, please. From jumping through a window and falling out of a building.
Yeah.
Apocrypha.
You take a stress for falling out of a building.
It's fine. Cool. It's just when he rolls the dice. You splash into the horrible soup and land on a reindeer. From the first episode. My time in the river has calmed me. I am sorry I attacked you earlier.
Oh, just needed a bath. Self-care for the robot reindeer.
I miss my red nose.
Oh.
There may be something I can do about that.
Yes?
Let me see. I'm going to attempt to get out a pocket mirror,
mm-hmm.
which is linked to the mirror in my bedroom,
mm-hmm.
reach through it,
mm-hmm.
pick up the nose, and bring it back.
Wizard check, please.
I'd like to spend one determination.
What a great idea.
I rolled a 4.
You reach through blindly, and there's a scene of just the arm grabbing stuff, and you get the glowing red sensor nose of Rue.Olf.
I'm afraid I don't know how to reattach it.
Oh, don't worry, it's magic.
Aha!
Christmas time. Put it on the front of my head.
That's traditionally where noses go.
Ah. Ah, excellent. With my nose, I can speak properly. It's very nasal before. Do you still have the Furby with you?
I mean, only if it wanted to come with.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was really excited, yeah.
Then yeah, definitely.
Yeah. You are both sitting on the back of a giant electric reindeer in the water soup outside Canary Wharf. You can feel your heart burning as you look into the Furby's weird, dull eyes. Flickering, weird, dull eyes.
With them really, really clunky, like, chunk, chunk.
And standing in the window that he kicked through is the receptionist robot looking at you, heartbroken.
Oh,
she
no.
She drops the chocolates and flowers that she'd got for you.
Oh.
She looks sad. I have to say that because this is a podcast recording, but yeah, I had a really sad face on there. It was really good. You would have liked it.
Apocrypha, you know how to get things done. I think this building needs to be condemned.
No!
It's literally producing evil robots, Helen.
But the receptionist wants to live there!
I just thought I had a chance for a happy life with a woman in a suit.
I think it...
That's all any of us
I'm
want.
I'm afraid you're right. It does feel like it's time to raise the stakes, doesn't it? At which point, I'm gonna attempt to dip deep into the art of hyperdimensional splendor.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to open a portal within the building... like a direct portal
mm-hmm.
to
the plane of hyperdimensional splendor, and just fill it with splendor, which naturally in Christmas means it just slowly fills with tinsel, squeezing out everything in the building, leaving it full of only tinsel,
and destroying its ability to manufacture killbots.
Well, naturally, have you tried to operate as a machine when you're full of tinsel? No, but killbots.
Well, there's one
out.
Time, yeah.
Not even that really counts it, you know. It was July.
It was a crazy month in Paris. Cool. Make me a wizard check, please. I guess? Yeah, come on then. Roll dice.
First you spurned her and now you're killing her with tinsel.
Well, like that's the thing. Like she's standing out. So what did you roll?
I rolled 2 threes and a 2.
Oh, that's bad.
But
oh,
I don't good. Die.
Okay.
Because my stress is only 2.
Brilliant. Cool. Mark 1 stress.
Yep. Fail.
You summon a load of tinsel in there. And there is a great mass of tinsel and baubles and trees and all sorts. Thankfully, the receptionist robot, who is my new best friend and everyone's favourite character, was standing in the doorway.
Yep.
So she can sort of step out to avoid the faff. Yeah. Yes, the Christmas faff.
I literally summoned Christmas faff. We're fine.
There is a shuddering, a cracking. And Jesus, who's with you, his nose starts bleeding.
Oh, what did I do?
Oh no!
What's wrong?
He's using like Jewish necromancy. He's going to all the tinsel soaked in the meat and blood of Santa's workshop animates into a horrible towering monstrosity.
No!
You've got 2 problems to solve now. 1, Krampus in space, and 2, a giant tinsel golem made of meat is terrorizing Canary Wharf. How are you going to solve this one? Find out next week on
Sexy Battle Wizards!
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by Rusty Quill and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 International License. Today's episode was directed by Alexander J. Newell and produced by April Sumner. To subscribe, buy merchandise, or join our Patreon, visit rustyquill.com. Rate and review us online, tweet us at @TheRustyQuill, visit us on Facebook, or email us via mail@rustyquill.com. Join our community on the Discord via the website or on Reddit at r/rustyquill. Thanks for listening.
Says recording, and that's how I know if it's crashed and died. That one blinking red light. I feel like Great Gatsby, but my romance is that sound desk.
I've never read or seen The Great Gatsby.
He's a sound engineer. And he's great.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe period Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun, and see you later.